The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after Epiphany is from Jonah, chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. When God saw what they did, how they had turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. "This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried and unbetrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. In this, I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promise good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of my favorite commercials are ones made by Southwest Airlines. One of their mottos is, "If you really need an escape, we're the airline of getaways." Usually their commercials go something like this. "Do you want to get away?" they ask the question. Then, a few seconds later, we who are viewing this can see passengers on a plane. And I love it. The seats are really wide. They're not all cramped in. They must have special planes for their commercials. But that's beside the point. Then you hear a beep, and they say, "You can now disembark. Have a nice day," like you finally made it to your getaway. Likewise, to the idea of getting away is our Old Testament lesson from the book of Jonah. As believers, have you ever been angry or disappointed with God so much that you wanted to escape, to get as far away from him as possible? Because sometimes we think We know better than God. We know what will make us happy. We know what is good for us. But Psalm 139 talks about escapes. Can I flee from your presence, O Lord? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Where can we flee God's presence? That's what Jonah tried to do. God called Jonah to go preach to the city of Nineveh, and Jonah decided that he hated the people of Nineveh so much, he didn't want to go there and preach to them. He'd rather see them destroyed. So he goes to the city of Joppa to take a boat to get as far away from God as he possibly could. I once tried to get away from God. I tried to get away from the path that he set out for me. It was the most miserable experience of my life. I thought I knew what was better for me. And I'm sure I'm not the only one here who's had that experience. Likewise, in the book of Jonah, chapter 1 and 2, we find the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up to me." Nineveh was the largest city of the ancient world. We know in history that they had 60,000 children in the city. Now, if you just add mom and dad to that number, you end up with 180,000. It would be realistic to say Nineveh was a city probably of 250,000 to 300,000 people. We don't think of a city being that large at a quarter of a million, but in the ancient world, this was a massive city. The Bible says that the children of Nineveh could not tell their right hand from their left hand. Nineveh, by the way, is modern-day the city of Mosul in Iraq, which we heard about during the war. But now it's the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And something about the Assyrians themselves. They were the ISIS of the ancient world. They were exceedingly cruel. They would desecrate the bodies of the victims of war. They would cut off the ears of prisoners, cut off the nose of prisoners, and they would also pull their tongues out. When they wanted to move a group of prisoners, they put a hook through their nose and then had it tied to the next guy. You're not going to run if you got a hook through your nose. By the way, I find that funny then, you know, because I know the Assyrians would put a hook through the nose when I see people with a nose earring. It's immediately what I think about an Assyrian prisoner. They only knew where that came from. But that's beside the point. Something about the city of Nineveh itself. The walls were so thick that you could take 2 4-horse chariots and race them together along the top of the wall. And the Bible describes the people of Nineveh as being very evil. But yet Jonah is called to minister to them. Jonah's biggest fault was he thought salvation was for the Jews only. As I said previously, he fled to the city of Joppa on the coast to take a ship to get as far away from God as he possibly could. And then, of course, we know this part of the story. He gets swallowed by a great fish where he spends 3 days in the belly of this fish. He must have smelled wonderful. Got to tell this story about my wife, Susan. Years ago, we had a VBS. And it was a story of Jonah and the whale. So she made this out of black garbage bags, this giant bubble the kids sat in with a fan blowing to keep it inflated. And for smell effect, she opened up 2 cans of tuna. In the summer, it smelled like the inside of a fish when you went in there. But that's where Jonah spent 3 days. Then when he gets spit out, we have our lesson for today, where the word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. And God says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I have given you." So Jonah got up, went to the city of Nineveh. You know, many times when we stray from God, he brings us back to the place where we started. I call it back to zero. Back to zero is an opportunity for a fresh start and a do-over. God has brought me to back to zero on more than one occasion. Now, once you're back to zero, you can't go on until you pass the test that you failed the first time. You face the same issues again and again until we pass the test. See, God wants us to move on. He wants us to move forward. We can't allow ourselves to get stuck in the past. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, a city of a three-day journey. Can you imagine it took 3 days to walk from one end of the city to the other? Gives you an idea of just how massive the city was. So Jonah enters the city, and he cries out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God. Talk about a revival. So I said, probably 250,000 people. They repented of their sins, put on sackcloth and ashes, which was an outward sign of inward repentance, and they prayed to the Lord for mercy. And Jonah is not happy. He didn't preach a great sermon. He just said, in 40 days, his city's going to get destroyed. Repent. No great gospel lesson there at all. No message of good news. Just a sermon of pure judgment. But God used him anyway. It says, yet the people of Nineveh believed, and they proclaimed a fast for the Lord. And God was pleased with their repentance. Jesus says of the city of Nineveh in Matthew 12, verse 41, the men of Nineveh will rise in judgment with this generation, talking about the people of Jesus' day, and they will condemn it, for they repented of the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Jonah was probably the only preacher who was not expecting a response from those who listened to his message. But Jonah was reminded of something that we need to be reminded of. God is a God of love and mercy. He would rather forgive and save our enemies than punish and destroy them, and we should have the same attitude. May the peace of the Lord, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.